Title: Phil and Ableton Live 12, Pull It for Old School Rave Pressure Advanced. Alright, let's get into an advanced Phil technique that's pure drum and bass and pure jungle psychology. Because in this music, a Phil isn't look what my drums can do. A Phil is a tension device. It's a little act of sabotage right before the downbeat, where you bend time, you bend pitch, you steal the space, and then you give it all back on the one. That's the old school rave pressure. The groove leans back for a split second and the drop feels like it hits harder, even if your levels didn't change. In this lesson, you're building a reusable pull fill rack inside Ableton Live 12, mostly stock devices, automation first, and setup, so you can deploy it every 8 or 16 bars like a weapon. Here's what we're going to build: a printed audio fill that we can warp and bend, plus an automated rewind vortex with echo, a pitch dip, transient bite so it still punches, and a controlled burst of space right at the end. And then we'll wrap the whole thing into macros, so you can do this fast in real projects. Step 0, session prep, because this is where advanced workflow starts. Set your phrase grid. Most DNB phrases are 8 or 16 bars, so drop locators at bar 9, 17, 25, and so on. You're basically marking decision points where a fill could happen. Then make sensible groups: drums, break, bass, music or FX, and return FX. You want your routing clean, because the fill is going to be a printed event, not something living across 10 tracks. And one key point: put your main drum loop or break in audio, not MIDI, at least for this technique. The most convincing pull tricks come from audio warping and resampling, because you can literally bend the groove. Now step 1, the core pull trick: warp automation on a resampled fill. We're going to print the last bar of your drums and break into its own audio clip. Create a new audio track and name it Phil Print. Set its audio from to your drums group post effects, or your drum bus, basically after your main processing. Arm the track, and record just the last bar of your phrase. If your phrase is 8 bars, you're printing bar 8. If it's 16, print bar 16. Keep it simple. One bar is enough, and often a half bar is even better later. Then place that recorded clip exactly where the fill happens, right at the end of the phrase. Now open that clip in clip view and turn warp on. Warp mode choice matters. If it's mostly a break and you want the transients to stay sharp, try beats mode, preserve transients, and keep transient looping off unless you're getting clicks. If it's a full drum bus and you want the bend to feel smoother, Complex Pro can work, but listen carefully because it can smear attacks. Performance around 0 to 30 is a safe zone, but sometimes weird is good, as long as it's controlled. Now for the actual pull. Think of this as dragging the end of the bar slightly late, without actually making the whole arrangement late. Add warp markers at beat 1, beat 3, and beat 4, the end of the bar. Then grab that beat 4 warp marker and nudge it to the right. Small amounts matter. At 174 BPM, milliseconds are everything. 10 to 40 milliseconds can already feel like a real leanback. If you go too far, the drop feels late, and that's only cool if you intentionally want a stutter drop vibe. Teacher note: don't stay locked to the grid when you do this. Set your global grid to something like 16th note so you can edit normally, but when you move warp markers, temporarily go to grid off, or a super fine grid. Your ear wants tiny nudges, not big musical divisions. And here's the pro arrangement move: don't pull the whole bar. Pull only the last moment, like the last 8th note, or even just the final half beat leading into the one. That keeps your fill tight and stops it from sounding like your drummer fell down the stairs. Cool. You've now got time bending. That's the first half of the pressure. Step 2. Add rewind pressure with echo, stock device. On Phil Print, insert echo. Set it to sync mode. Start with time at 1/8, or go 1/16 if you want faster jitter. Feedback around 10 to 20% to begin. Filter it. High pass around 200 to 400 Hz so it doesn't cloud the low end, and low pass somewhere like 6 to 10k. Keep reverb low, like 0 to 10%. Because DNB drop impact hates uncontrolled tails. Noise at 0 to 5% if you want that tiny tape vibe. Now automate two things over the last half bar, or even the last quarter bar. First, feedback. Ramp it from around 15% up towards 60, 70, even 85, but only right at the end. This is where you get the vortex grabbing the audio sensation. Second, time. Right near the end, do quick step jumps from 1/8 to 1/16 to 1/32. Don't ramp it smoothly. Step it. Step automation makes the rewind illusion read clearly, like the machine is changing gears. Safety rule: put a limiter after echo. Ceiling around minus 0.5 dB is fine. Echo feedback can spike, and you don't want your fill to clip and ruin your downbeat headroom. Step 3. Pitch dip plus transient smack. This is the old school cassette gravity. For pitch dip, you've got two clean options. Option 1. Shifter. Put shifter after echo, or before it if you want the repeats to inherit the pitch move differently. Set shifter to pitch mode, course at 0, and automate fine down over the last quarter bar. Start at 0 cents and dip to minus 30, minus 60, minus 120 cents. Then snap it back exactly on the drop. When you draw that automation, don't make it a boring straight ramp. In Live 12, use a curve. An S-curve often feels more mechanical, like an actual deck or motor slowing, rather than a simple slide. Option 2. Clip transposition. Duplicate your fill print clip and automate the clip's transposition down, like minus 2 semitones or minus 5 just for the last 8th note. Add a tiny fade out to avoid clicks. This can feel more turntable-ish, especially if you combine it with a micro silence gap right before the one, which we'll talk about later. Now, transient control. Warping and echo can soften the punch, and we do not want soft. We want aggressive, but disciplined. Add drum busts to the fill. Drive somewhere like 5 to 15. Crunch from 0 to 20 depending on how nasty your source is. Damp to taste, but don't kill your top end. Boom usually off, or extremely low, because fills get muddy fast. Then automate drum bust drive up slightly only for the fill, like plus 3 to plus 6. The idea is, the fill gets a little extra teeth, but your main drop stays cleaner by comparison. Step 4. The space trick. The suck, then the slam. This is a classic move. Right before the drop, you create negative space so the downbeat feels bigger. First, set up a dedicated fill reverb return. On a return track, load hybrid reverb. Choose hall or plate. Decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds is fine, because we're going to filter it. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds. Then EQ it, high pass at 300 to 600, low pass 8 to 12k. After that, put an auto filter set to high pass, steep slope, around 500 Hz. Then a limiter for safety. Now on fill print, automate the send to that return. Keep it almost nothing most of the time, like 0 to 5%. Then spike it to 15 to 35% only on the last tiny hit, like the last 16th note. Then instantly back down on the drop. That gives you that one last whoosh tail without washing your downbeat. Now the vacuum moment. On your drums bus, automate a tiny gain dip with utility, minus 1 to minus 3 dB for an 8th note right before the drop, and automate a high pass filter sweep up quickly, maybe up to 200 to 600 Hz, then release it instantly on the downbeat. You're basically making the room disappear for a split second. Then when the kick and sub return, it feels like the system got bigger. Extra coach move, protect the downbeat even harder by muting the fill for the first 5 to 20 milliseconds of the drop. Yes, it's microscopic. Put a utility on the fill track and automate it to go to minus infinity, or mute, for that tiny sliver right on the one. Then immediately restore. That little gap prevents echo tails from stepping on your kick transient and makes the downbeat feel more separated, like it's physically punching through. Step 5. Make it repeatable with a macro rack. On fill print, select your device chain. A solid order is drum bus, echo, shifter, utility, and limiter. Group them into an audio effect rack. Now map macro so you can automate one lane and get the whole move. Macro ideas. Macro 1. Pull dirt. Map drum bus drive and maybe crunch. Macro 2. Rewind. Map echo feedback, with a sensible range, like 15% up to 85, but make sure it doesn't go nuclear. Macro 3. Tighten. Map echoes filter, pushing the high pass up and maybe pulling the low pass down as the fill gets closer to the drop. Macro 4. Pitch dip. Map shifter fine from 0 down to minus 120 cents. Macro 5. Vacuum. Map utility gain so it dips a couple dB, or if you keep the vacuum on the drum bus instead, map something else like width. And speaking of width, another advanced trick is mono management. Put utility on the fill and automate width down toward 0 to 30% at the tightest part of the pull, then restore width on the drop section. Narrow fill, wide drop. Contrast sells impact. Now step 6, arrangement placement. Because this is where people either sound pro or sound like they discovered a trick and started spamming it. Use pull fills at phrase edges. Bar 8. Beat 4 is your classic. Micro pull plus pitch dip, slam at bar 9. Bar 16. Beats 3 to 4 is where you can go more dramatic, stronger warp, echo feedback spike, time jumps. Before switch-ups, use the pull fill to announce the new drum pattern. You can fake half-time for a moment, then snap back, and it feels like the tempo changed even though it didn't. Golden rule for rolling D&B. Shorter and mere. Half a bar is often enough. A quarter bar is often better. You're not filling space, you're creating threat. Now, common mistakes to avoid. 1. Reverb tails that smear the downbeat. Filter your returns and automate the send so the tail is only a tiny accent. 2. Echo feedback runaway without a limiter. Always cap it. 3. Pulling timing so much that the drop feels late. Unless you want that intentional stumble, keep the pull confined to the last moment. 4. Fills fighting the snare. If your snare on 2 and 4 is sacred, don't blur it. Sidechain the fill to the snare. Put a compressor on fill print. Sidechain from the snare track. Fast attack, medium release, and aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the snare hits. That keeps the anchor clean. 5. Not committing to audio. Advanced fills are usually printed. It's not a weakness, it's how you get reliable results. Let's level up with a few advanced variations. One of the cleanest pro tricks is dual layer pull, transient stay strict, by Benz.